Good afternoon. This is Francis, your volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you our Listener Beware program. For the next half hour, you'll hear about scams, schemes, fraud, and ways to protect yourself and your money. The first article is from the AARP Bulletin, January-February 2024 issue. When hackers attacked me, how I survived an onslaught on my account by cyber thieves, by Rob Tannenbaum. One day in late September, I woke up to an alarming text from my investment advisor saying he had replied to the email I'd sent him. Problem was, I hadn't sent him an email. Muttering expletives, I hurriedly checked online and saw that someone had logged into my investment account and transferred out $4,000. I'd been hacked and robbed. Up to then, I had felt safe from the scourges of phishing attacks and fraud as I considered myself a savvy internet traveler. But it quickly became clear that cyber thieves were far more savvy than me. Within days, I was facing a full-on assault from online thieves. Even before the $4,000 was stolen, I'd noticed unusual activity in my accounts. I had received fraud alerts on two credit cards within minutes, both of which I canceled. Now, knowing the attack was real, I checked my online account at a large retail chain. Two smartphones were in the shopping cart to be shipped to a sketchy mail drop point in Reisterstown, Maryland, a locale I'd never visited. My digital wallet had a bank credit card, which I hadn't ordered. Did hackers have all my passwords? Next, I discovered that my Amazon account had been locked due to suspicious activity. I hadn't received any notifications from Amazon, so I called customer service. A smart representative advised me to check my email account and look at any filters that had been set up. As he suspected, hackers had blocked all emails from Amazon or my bank. This meant the hackers had not only my Amazon password, but my email password too. I suspected my computer might have malware, but two programs showed it was clean. My computer consultant mentioned that he'd once been hacked through his router, which he told me was the most vulnerable part of a home network, so I changed the router password and the Wi-Fi password too. Next step was the time-consuming project of changing dozens of website passwords, one by one. When I opened my password manager and looked at the account data, I saw it had been accessed by two browsers that weren't mine. Both were computers in Reisterstown. It was a gut-wrenching feeling to realize that even as I was changing passwords, hackers could see what I was doing. I logged out the two alien browsers and changed the password so they couldn't log back in. Getting Amazon to unlock my account was an ordeal. Customer service referred me to two different departments, neither of which can be reached by phone, and my emails drew automated replies. A public relations manager at Amazon offered to fast-track my problem, and even then, getting my account back to normal took weeks. The Amazon PR manager declined an interview but said via email, "Amazon has systems in place to proactively protect customers and detect suspicious transactions. In the rare case where a customer had a bad experience, we go above and beyond to make things right." That may be true, but my experience suggests cyber thieves love the site. My hackers even sent me a legit-looking email from Amazon customer service offering to help restore my account. It linked to a page that asked for my social security number. That's when I realized the hackers were cleverly posing as Amazon to gain even more information. It took dozens of hours and untold amounts of stress, but I was finally able to resolve all the hacking issues. Happily, my bank restored the $4,000. The main holdover from the hacking is a constant flood of phishing attempts. Within days, I was told I won 10 iPhones and a dozen Costco gift cards. Lucky me. The hacking attempts have stopped for now. I still check my phone every morning for fraud alerts. I've tightened up my online hygiene. I can't reverse the damage from the recent attack, but I hope to be better prepared the next time it happens. And it will. Use what I learned to fight back. Turn on automatic software and app updates on your computers and phones so you always have the most current fraud-blocking tools. Use two-factor authentication, 2FA, for logins when you can. It requires you to enter a newly generated code sent to your phone before you can gain access to an account. Of course, you should have unique, elaborate passwords, but you should also use a password manager such as 1Password, Bitwarden, LastPass, or Dashlane to keep them protected and to sync the information on all your devices. Freeze your credit at Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion to prevent someone from opening a credit card in your name. If you have an iPhone, turn on the Find My iPhone option, which enables activation lock and helps secure your Apple identity. Create a dedicated email address you use only for financial services and not for work or personal email. And here's an article from GotWetWeDry.com. How fraudulent roofing companies target the seniors in repair scams. It's good to remember that most roofing companies are honest and trustworthy. They do a great job of taking care of roofs and helping homeowners. But just like in any area, there are a few tricky folks out there. Sometimes, not-so-nice companies try to take advantage of seniors. They might promise things they can't deliver or make repairs that aren't really needed. So let's chat about how to keep the fraudulent companies away and make sure your loved ones are safe and sound. Remember, we're in this together, and with a little know-how, we can help protect those we care about. Here is a common roofing scam that was used on a senior couple in the Far Horizons East neighborhood. Picture this, a roofing company, all friendly and cheerful, saying they are replacing many of your neighbor's roofs because of a recent monsoon. They might even say, "We will come out and look for free. If your roof needs repair, your insurance will take care of it for you." But here's the scoop. These folks did not have the best intentions. Typically, a reputable roofing company does not cold call during monsoon season because they're already working hard on real roof repairs. Scammers might exaggerate or make up issues with the roof that don't actually exist. In the case of our senior couple, the company sent out an inspector. He told them their roof was just fine and did not need repairs, but 2 days later, the senior inspector called. He told them the young inspector did not know what he was doing and scheduled another free inspection. The senior inspector confirmed their roof needed replacing. This should send up all sorts of red flags. The scammer recommended roof replacement and volunteered to work with the insurance company to get this approved. The roofing company had also taken pictures of the damaged roof, but did not show it to the couple because the pictures were for the insurance company. He used aggressive sales tactics to pressure the senior couple into signing a roof repair contract before the insurance adjuster had looked at the roof. Scammers might perform unnecessary work without insurance consent and then demand payment. Or others convince seniors to file insurance claims for damage that doesn't exist or exaggerate the extent of the damage, leading to higher insurance premiums. But here's the good news. Our senior couple's daughter did research on the company and was able to get her parents out of the contract before the disreputable roofing company started work. She then called another known cleaning and restoration company. They did an inspection and found no damage at all. Other roofing scams include, 1, bait and switch. Some scammers might offer a low initial estimate, but once the work starts, they claim to have found more extensive damage and charge much more than originally quoted. 2, advance payment. Fraudulent companies might demand a large upfront payment before any work begins and then disappear without completing the job. 3, unlicensed or uninsured contractors. Scammers often lack proper licenses, insurance, and permits, which can lead to subpar work or even accidents on the property. 4, phony references. They might provide fake references or online reviews to appear legitimate. It's important to do thorough research and verify the company's reputation. 5, payment methods. Scammers might prefer cash payments or ask for payment through unconventional methods, making it difficult to trace the transaction or request refunds. So, if a roofing company calls with a super urgent repair tale, take a deep breath and remember, it's okay to take your time and think things through and get a second opinion. No need to rush into anything. Roofing scams targeting the elderly, often exploiting their trust, lack of experience with home repairs, and sometimes limited mobility. Here is what you do to protect yourself or elderly loved ones from falling victim to roofing scams. Do your research. Look up the company online, check their website, Google reviews, and ratings from trusted sources. Get multiple quotes. Obtain estimates from multiple reputable roofing companies to compare pricing and recommendations. Ask for credentials. Verify the company's licenses, insurance, and any other necessary certifications. Take your time. Don't be rushed into making quick decisions. Legitimate companies will give you time to consider your options. Never pay up front. Avoid making large upfront payments before any work has been completed. Reputable contractors usually request payment after the job is finished. Avoid cold call solicitation. Be cautious when dealing with companies that call unsolicited. Consult with a family member or friend. If you're unsure about a company, seek advice from someone you trust before making a decision, especially if you find online searches difficult. If you suspect you've encountered a roofing scam or any other fraudulent activity, you should report it to your local authorities and consumer protection agencies. Taking care of your home, especially the roof, is super important. Here are some friendly hints to guide you through the roof repairs and keep your living space cozy and secure. First, regular inspections. Get regular visual inspections of your roof. Have the roofer look for missing or damaged shingles, signs of leaks or water damage, and any other visible issues. Do not get on the roof yourself. Too many people fall. Second, address water issues or leaks promptly. Small issues can escalate quickly, leading to more extensive and costly repairs. 3. Ask to see photos. When discussing the inspection, ask for pictures and a clear explanation of the recommended solution. A reputable contractor will be happy to show you photos of your roof. 4. Verify credentials. Before hiring a contractor, verify their licenses, insurance, and any other necessary credentials. Legitimate contractors won't hesitate to provide this information. 5. Understand contracts. If you decide to proceed with repairs, read and understand the contract thoroughly before signing. Don't hesitate to ask for clarification if something is unclear. 6. Avoid upfront payments. Be cautious of contractors who demand a large upfront payment before any work has started. This is often a red flag for potential scams. And 7. Consult trusted individuals. If you're unsure about a particular repair or contractor, seek advice from family members, friends, or neighbors who have experience with roofing or home repairs. Remember, you've got this. Taking care of your home sweet home doesn't have to be a hassle. Just follow these friendly tips and you'll be on the path to a happy and healthy roof. And here is a BuzzFeed article by Monica Torres, a HuffPost writer. Smishing is the latest way scammers are trying to get your info. Here's how to protect yourself. Beware if you ever get a message that sounds like this. Urgent, your package delivery is delayed. Click this link to update your delivery and preferences and reschedule the delivery date. One of the biggest scams you need to watch out for is coming from your phone. In smishing, a term that combines SMS and phishing, bad actors try to get your personal and banking information through unsolicited text messages or on mobile devices. They do it by pretending to be government agencies, companies that you might have done business with, or a package delivery service. They'll say something to get your urgent attention, like a text about a free gift that you have to pay a small fee for shipping to receive, or they will send a warning about suspicious activity on your account. We see a lot of it with people posturing banks saying, "This is Chase Bank. There is a hold on your account due to a security breach. Click here to verify your information," said Amy Knopfzeiger, the Director of Fraud Victim Support with AARP. The Federal Trade Commission reports that Americans lost $330 million from smishing scams in 2022, with a median loss of $1,000. These kinds of texting scams have an easier time at fooling us because our phones train us to pay attention to them. We have our devices with us 24/7, and when we hear that little ding, we automatically look at it, whereas we don't do that as much with our email anymore, Knopfzeiger said. In package smishing scams, the suspicious message can seem innocuous and read, "USPS, since your package address does not have a house number, we are unable to arrange home delivery for you. Please update online," the FTC shared as an example. But once you click, you'll be asked to pay a redelivery fee to trick you into giving up your credit card information. Especially around the holidays and this time of year, we are, on a more frequent basis, ordering packages. So it might not be out of the norm to get an email from a shipping company saying that there's a delay. That's why she advises consumers get into the habit of writing down what you ordered, where you ordered it from, and what company will be the package delivery service. When in doubt, call the source instead of relying on a text message. If you do think that there's a problem with your shipping, your package, your item, your bank account, just call the company at the number you have for them. And just check that way, Knopfzeiger said. It is better to contact the company from their original website or phone number than to provide account information and login and password information from a bogus link, said Stephanie Benoit-Kurtz, lead cybersecurity faculty at University of Phoenix College of Business and Informational Technology. How to spot a smishing message. A smishing message can seem like any other text message, but there are a few telltale signs that will warn you that something's off. Here's what to keep an eye on. Look to see how many people also received your text. If your text about a free gift or suspicious activity was also sent to multiple people, be suspicious. That's an immediate red flag, and you should absolutely delete it and block that number right away. Be wary of unsolicited messages that ask for your information. A regular solicitation will tell you information that you signed up to receive, while a spam message is more likely to ask for it. When they are then asking you to go off of that platform or asking you for personal information, that should be your number one red flag. Nothing is as important as your personal and financial information. Be suspicious of any action you have to do right away. Bad actors want you to not have time to think, so make sure to take a breath and really think about what you're being asked to do. The sense of urgency is right now, and they are looking for you to wire a check, purchase, and provide information from gift cards or log into an account from this link. What you can do to block smishing messages. Once you spot a smishing message, don't just leave it in your messages folder. Take these actions to prevent future issues. You can filter messages from unknown senders on Apple phones by going to Settings, then Messages. Scroll down until you see Filter Unknown Senders and select it. On Android phones, go to Settings, then Blocked Numbers. Turn on the unknown option to block private or unidentified numbers from contacting you. Knopfzeiger said that filtering out these messages is a great tool that people can use to give yourself a little red flag. Well, this person is not in my contacts list because it didn't come in my regular folder, so let me take a moment, calm down, pay attention to what this message is asking. USPS advises attaching a screenshot of the text message and showing the phone number of the sender and the date sent and sending that to spam at usps.gov. For unsolicited messages on iPhones that are not in your contacts, tap the Report Junk option that will appear, then tap Delete and Report Junk. On Android phones, click the person you want to block, then click More Options. From there, select Block and Report Spam. In general, you can forward the suspicious messages to 7726, which spells spam. That way, your wireless provider can learn to block similar spam messages for you. You can also report it to the FTC at reportfraud.ftc.gov. If you fell for this phishing scam, don't panic. There are still steps you can take to mitigate losses. If you click a link you think is suspicious, get your computer immediately checked for malware, and ignore any follow-up texts the person may be sending you, even if they seem friendly. Stop the communication because at some point they're going to ask you to go to a link or help you with your device. And make sure to call your bank about fraudulent transactions or security breaches so they can investigate. If you think you're a victim of a scam, make sure to report it to the financial institution or the organization right away. You can also contact the State Attorney General's office to report the issue. Here's an article from bleepingcomputer.com. Fake 401k year-end statements used to steal corporate credentials by Bill Tulis. Dated January 10th, 2024. Threat actors are using communication about personal pension accounts, the 401k plans in the U.S., salary adjustments, and performance reports to steal company employees' credentials. Email security company Cofence warns that these attacks are becoming more frequent, and even organizations with sound email security practices are having trouble against them. 401k is a popular retirement savings plan in the U.S. that offers a convenient way for employees to save for the future with tax benefits, often including additional contributions from their employer. Cyber criminals take advantage of this topic and are sending targets 401k notifications posing as someone from their company's human resources department, alleging an important plan update or an increase in contributions. Cofence says that throughout last year, it has seen a sharp rise in QR codes embedded in those phishing emails, taking recipients to a fake login page designed to steal credentials. Other lure types seen more often towards the end of the year include open enrollment, surveys, and salary restructuring communications. Open enrollment is a specific period, typically occurring towards the end of the calendar year, allowing employees to enroll in a health insurance or retirement plan. Recipients take these messages very seriously because failing to enroll before the deadline results in loss of eligibility for some benefits until the next enrollment round. Cyber criminals also appear to use more often lures regarding compensation adjustments, especially around bonuses and increases, which are usually decided at the end of the year. Finally, Cofence warns about fake employee satisfaction surveys and assessment reports sent to targets from spoofed human resource departments. In one example, the phishing email uses an Employee of the Year award theme to trick recipients into opening their performance reports, allegedly to review and sign them. Cofence says that all examples in this report are from employees of large enterprises that use effective email security solutions, yet many phishing messages still reach their employees' inboxes. The security company suggests that HR departments schedule these communications and inform the personnel accordingly to help filter out at least some of the malicious communications. However, considering that many companies outsource these operations, educating and safeguarding employees from phishing attempts may be difficult. Another measure would be to avoid QR codes in legitimate business communication, since many phishing campaigns rely on them. That concludes our Listener Beware program for today. I hope you found this helpful. This is Frances at SunSounds. Have a great rest of your day. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on broadcast info and audio. Then, under programming links, left click on on demand podcasts. Also, you can now listen to Sunsounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.